We're turning again to that portion of Scripture that Dr. Douglas read, Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. And let's just read the first four verses again. We'll read from verse 35. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading again of his precious word. This evening I want to preach on the subject, the opportunity that was given to a blind beggar as Jesus passed by. Let's bow in prayer and let's seek the Lord. And child of God, you pray that the Lord will come afresh tonight again and speak to hearts. We have known the help of the Lord in these meetings, and certainly over these past few nights we have known the great help of the Lord with us, and we need the help of the Lord again, and we cannot take that help for granted. We need to pray that God will come and that the Lord will step in, and that the word of God will go forth not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray tonight that the Lord will come and touch hearts. And my friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, we pray for you, and we pray tonight that the Lord will speak very personally and powerfully to your soul and draw you to Christ. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for your presence with us in the meeting tonight again. O God, we come to the proclamation of thy precious word, and we're so conscious, Lord, that once again we need thee. O God, we cast ourselves upon thee, and we pray, Lord, that you would come and fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, for those in the meeting who are still strangers to grace and to God. We pray that you'll save them. We think of those perhaps who are backslidden. O God, that you would restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. And O God, we pray that you'll cover us in the precious blood. And Lord, that man would be hid far behind the cross, and that none would be seen, save Jesus only. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. We have set before us in this portion of Scripture one of the many miracles which the Lord Jesus Christ performed when he walked upon this earth, that of restoring sight to a blind beggar. The Savior on this occasion was passing through Jericho. And as he was just about to enter into that city, the Bible tells us that a blind beggar, after hearing that the Savior was passing by, cried out saying, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Now I'm sure that it's a familiar story to most of us, if not all of us. The blind beggar asked Christ to restore his sight, and not only did the Savior heal him, but the Lord Jesus also saved his precious soul, with the result that that day, as the Son of God passed by and passed through Jericho, that that old blind beggar received eternal life. And the Bible tells us here that he went on his way rejoicing. What a wonderful, wonderful story we have here of the mercy and the grace and the love of Christ toward a sinner. You know, men and women, during this gospel mission, the Lord Jesus Christ has been passing this way. We have known, I believe, in a very special way, the presence of the Lord. And certainly I can testify to how the Lord has helped me preaching his precious word. And what a privilege we have had over these past 2 weeks of the Lord drawing near to each heart. Indeed, the Lord in his grace and mercy has drawn near to Lisburn at this time for one purpose, and for one purpose only, and that is to give the people of this area an opportunity not only to hear the gospel, but an opportunity to be saved and to prepare to meet God. I wonder As you're gathered in this gospel meeting tonight, have you availed yourself of that opportunity? As Jesus of Nazareth has passed by, have you cried unto him like the blind beggar, Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me? My friend, if you have not cried for mercy yet, I pray even tonight that as the Lord is giving you another opportunity to hear the gospel, that even tonight you will call unto him for salvation. Because praise God, tonight, this very night, the Lord is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him. And he will redeem you not only for time, but for all of God's eternity. Now, as we come to deal with this subject, the opportunity that was given to the blind beggar as Jesus passed by, I pray that the Lord will speak again to your heart. And as we consider this opportunity that the beggar received, I pray that you will realize that you too are receiving an opportunity at this time to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, if you're not saved, again, I want to exhort you to listen very carefully, because the message tonight is simple, but the message is clear. And I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will write the message upon your heart this evening. Now, the first thing I want you to notice, and again, I hope that you have the Bible open before you. The first thing I want you to notice is this, that it was an opportunity that was given to the blind beggar by God. I don't want anyone to think tonight that it was just a coincidence that the blind beggar was sitting by the wayside as Jesus passed by. I don't want anyone to be of the opinion that it was just an accidental occurrence that the blind beggar was sitting by the wayside as Jesus passed by. Oh no! This opportunity that the blind beggar was receiving in Luke chapter 18, it was a divine opportunity. I believe that with all my heart. It was an opportunity that was planned by God. God in his mercy planned that the blind beggar would be sitting by the wayside. God in his grace planned that his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be passing through Jericho at that exact time when the blind beggar would be sitting by the wayside begging. And the reason for this plan was in order to give the beggar an opportunity not only to be healed, but an opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. Now, it's important that you see that. And it's important that you understand that. Before we go any further in this message, here we have a man, and he was receiving an opportunity. And it was a divine opportunity. It was planned by the God of heaven. Now, the beggar at the beginning of that day was not aware that he was going to receive such an opportunity. As far as he was concerned, it was just going to be like any other day. But oh, how this day was going to be different. Because this day, he was going to get an opportunity to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and to be healed and to be saved. Sinner, what an opportunity you are receiving tonight. In this gospel mission, the Lord is giving you an opportunity not only to hear the gospel, but to be saved by the grace of God. And the opportunity that God is giving you tonight is a divine opportunity. Don't think that the opportunity that God is giving you and the people of Lisburn at this time of gospel missioning is coincidental. Before the Reverend Martin and Dr. Douglas and the session of Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church ever planned this mission, God had it planned. Before I was ever asked to preach at this gospel mission, God in his providence had ordained it so to be. Why? Because God in his mercy wanted to give the people again in this city an opportunity to hear the message of the gospel, whereby they could hear words, whereby they could and might be saved. It's the mercy of God that we're gathered here tonight. You know, I believe that every gospel mission is a divine opportunity for sinners to meet Christ and be saved. This mission is a solemn occasion, but it is an occasion
where God's mercy and God's grace and God's love is demonstrated in a special way. A gospel mission is a time of God's special visitation to any area. I believe that with all my heart. You know, there are people who come into gospel missions and they never come in under the sound of the gospel at any other time. And we rejoice tonight because night after night in this mission, people have come in to hear the gospel. And my friend, you're in tonight again. And the Lord has brought you in. The Lord has brought you here and the Lord has brought me here. And we have been brought together, and you have come to hear, and I have come to preach. And I'll tell you this, long before this mission was ever planned, God had it planned. Why? To give you an opportunity. To give you a divine opportunity to meet Jesus, to come to Christ, to hear the gospel, to prepare to meet God. I wonder, are you going to grasp the opportunity tonight? Are you going to seize the opportunity tonight? Or once again, are you going to reject the Lord Jesus and go out of the meeting unsaved? It was a divine opportunity. But I want you to notice something else here. And I want you to take a look at the passage again, Luke chapter 18. Because we learn something else about this opportunity that the blind beggar received. Secondly, it was an opportunity that the blind beggar would never get again. Now friend, I want you to listen to this very carefully. It was an opportunity that the blind beggar would never get again. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, I know it very simply because the Lord Jesus Christ was passing through the city of Jericho for the last time. Because he was making his way up to Jerusalem to die on the cross. You see, the truth is, when you study the passage of Scripture, Christ would never pass through Jericho again. Take a look with me at chapter 18, verse 35. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho." So there's the Lord Jesus, and he's coming nigh unto Jericho. He's just about to enter into the city of Jericho. Now, take a look with me at chapter 19, verse 1. And it says this, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." So there in that text, we have the Lord Jesus entering into Jericho and passing through Jericho. Now take a look with me at verse 11 of Luke chapter 19, and you'll read these words. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem." See what's happening here? In verse 35 of chapter 18, the Lord Jesus is just entering into Jericho. Chapter 19, verse 1, he's passing through Jericho and entering out the other side of the city. And then when we come to verse 11, he's left Jericho far behind him. And he's now coming towards Jerusalem. And my friend, the truth is, you study the rest of the gospel here, and you will find that the Lord Jesus went on up to Jerusalem, and it was at Jerusalem where they took him and nailed him to a cross. And the truth is this, that he never again entered into the city of Jericho. Therefore, the only opportunity that the beggar would have to be healed, to be saved, would be on this occasion as Jesus passed by. And if he failed to seize this opportunity, it would be gone forever and he would never get another opportunity. And my friend, it's important that you see that. Oh, the beggar could have thought, well, there will be other opportunities. Jesus, the Son of David, he'll be passing this way again. But he would have been wrong to think that. You know, had the blind beggar missed his opportunity to meet Jesus and be healed and saved, life would have gone on as normal. Do you ever think about that? I'm sure that many of you have read this story many times before. He would have got up in the morning. He would have gone and sat by the wayside, and there he would have begged all day. Friend, listen, this mission is someone's last opportunity to get right with God. Could it be yours? You might deceive yourself into believing that there will be other opportunities and other missions, and so there will be for someone else, but not for you, because as far as God is concerned, this is your last opportunity. And the truth is this, that once this mission is over, maybe even once this meeting is over, you'll go out of this church and you'll never step inside this church again, and you'll never step inside this mission again. As far as you're concerned, when you got out of the meeting tonight, that you finished with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even if that's not your thoughts, it's possible that your circumstances will be so changed after this meeting tonight and after this mission is over that you'll never sit under the sound of the gospel again. This could be your last opportunity. This could be your last chance. This could be your last day of visitation. My friend, that is why the Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. That's why the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The blind beggar was receiving a divine opportunity to meet Jesus and to be saved, but he was receiving his last opportunity. He would never again meet the Lord in these circumstances. You know, there are many examples of men in the Bible who received their last opportunity to be saved. Now, they didn't know it at the time. They didn't know it at the time. But we know it now because of the revelation of God's precious word. Dr. Douglas drew your attention to one man. Take a look there at Luke chapter 18. Let me just emphasize again. The rich young ruler. And you know, the story of the rich young ruler is very sad because he came with great expectation. He came inquiring after eternal life. When he met the Lord Jesus, look at verse 18, he asked Christ a good question. He said to the Savior, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Here was a young man who was seeking after eternal life. He wanted to know how to get to heaven. He wanted to know how to be saved. He wanted to know how to be born again of the Spirit of God. And when you study this passage of Scripture, not only did he ask a good question, but he had many good qualities because he sought to the best of his ability to keep the commandments. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ said to him in verse 20. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Here was a young man who sought at all times to keep the commandments to the best of his ability. And he was meeting the Lord Jesus. And little did he know that he was meeting Christ, perhaps for the first time, but definitely for the last time. Because we never read of the rich young ruler getting saved or meeting the Lord Jesus again. But you know, although he asked a good question and although he had many good qualities, he had a very bad quantity of riches. Because the Lord Jesus knew the sin he loved. And the sin he loved was his wealth. You know, the Bible doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And there was one sin in this young man's life, and it was the love of money. And that's why Jesus said to him, "Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me." In other words, the Lord Jesus was telling him here to give up his sin, to turn away from his sin, to turn away from the thing that he loved most, the thing that was damning his soul. And the Bible says, and you can take a look at it there in verse 23, "And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that, he was very sorrowful and said, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?'" Oh, here we have a young man who got an opportunity, just like the beggar. It was his last opportunity, just like the beggar. But the rich young ruler, instead of embracing Christ and turning away from his sin, he held on to that which he loved in this world.
And never again did he meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and never again did he get an opportunity. My friend, let me say lovingly and tenderly to you tonight, in this mission, someone will receive their last opportunity. Of that there is no doubt. You may live for another 20 years. You may live for a long time after this mission's over. But let me say it again, and I've said it already in the mission. There comes a time we know not when, a place we know not where, that seals the destiny of man for glory or despair. There is a line unseen of man that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. And the Bible says, indeed God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And that's why, if the Lord is speaking to you tonight, and I believe he is, if the Lord is drawing near to you this evening, and I believe he is, and I believe that in this gospel mission, I have no doubt about it, that there have been many who have come under conviction of sin, and they have gone out of the meeting night by night knowing that the Lord has spoken to them and knowing that they need to be saved. My friend, if that's you tonight, and I believe it is, then you need to come to Christ tonight. You need to turn from your sin, and you need to seek the Lord, and you need to cry unto him for mercy, and you need to seize the opportunity before it's too late. Because the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, many years ago there was a great mission in Wales. And many people in that mission got saved, gloriously saved. And one night in the mission, there was an old miner. God spoke to him in the mission. All his life he had rejected the Lord. But the Lord graciously came again in that mission. And as he said in the meeting, he came under conviction of sin. And as the appeal went out, he decided, no, I can't get saved tonight. I leave it to another night. And then the meeting was brought to an end, and everyone started to make their way home. And the old miner walked out of the church door, and as he began to walk home, again the Lord spoke to him. As he was going home from the mission. And just at that moment he stopped. And such was the conviction upon his heart, he turned around and he decided, I must settle this matter tonight. I must get right with God tonight. And he went back into the church and he spoke to the preacher, the evangelist. And he got saved and came to Christ. And was gloriously converted. And he went home rejoicing. The next morning he went to his work. And as he was a miner, he went down into the pit, and there was an explosion. There was a serious accident, and a number of men were seriously injured, and he was one of them. In fact, he was so seriously injured that he was on his deathbed. And as they were carrying him out of the pit that morning, someone heard him say, I'm glad I settled it last night. I'm glad that the Lord gave me that final opportunity to make my peace with him. Oh my friend, the truth is this, we don't know what a day may bring forth. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and we don't know where we're going to be, even at 12 o'clock tonight. We don't know how our circumstances can change, and you may plan to come here tomorrow night. You may even plan that before this mission's over, you're going to get saved. But friend, the truth is you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow night or Sunday night. Your opportunity may have gone. Can you see here? Can you see from the passage? And it's important that you see it from the passage. Can you see from the passage that the blind beggar was receiving not only a divine opportunity, but he was receiving his last opportunity? Because Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He was making his way up to Jerusalem. He was going to die upon the cross. He would never be in Jericho again. And my friend, for you, the Lord Jesus may never be in Lisburn again. He may never be here again for you. There may not be another mission for you. That's why you need to come to Christ this evening. Now there's one final thing I want you to notice.
Not only was it a divine opportunity, and not only was it his last opportunity, but I want you to notice that, thirdly, it was an opportunity that the blind beggar grasped. In other words, he didn't miss the opportunity. You know, it's a wonderful story here of how this beggar is healed and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that he grasped the opportunity immediately. Did you note that? Look at verse 37. And they told him, that was the people around the blind beggar, they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Look at verse 38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. Immediately, he heard that the Lord Jesus was passing by. Immediately, there and then, he cried out. There and then, he came to Christ. There and then. There and then. Immediately. Friend, that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do tonight. You need to cry unto the Lord. You need to get saved now. You need to press into the kingdom of God. I know that there are those here tonight, and you're not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from the kingdom of God. Just like the lawyer that we read about. Jesus says you're not far from the kingdom of God. But not far from the kingdom of God is not in the kingdom of God. Not far from the kingdom of God means that you're still outside the kingdom of God. You need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. And that's what the beggar did. Immediately he heard that the Lord Jesus was passing by. Notice also that he grasped the opportunity in spite of discouragement. Look at verse 38. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. You know, there's always someone to hinder. There's always someone or something to hinder. And as we found out this week, the devil will do everything within his power to stop sinners from coming to the Lord and being saved. And the devil will try to hinder you tonight again. Maybe you're not prepared to take that final step because of your wife or because of your husband or because of some habit that you feel you can't give up. The devil will use every wee thing. There's no doubt about that. And here in this passage of Scripture, we can see the devil at work again. And he's using the multitude. And they're saying to the blind beggar, now you've got to keep quiet. Don't annoy the Lord. But you know, you'll notice that in spite of the discouragement that he cried on. Look what it says in verse 39. But he cried so much the more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. He was determined to get to the Lord. He was determined to get to Christ. Oh my friend, don't let anyone stop you from getting to the Lord tonight. Don't let anyone stop you from getting to the Lord. Whether you come and speak to the preachers or not, that's immaterial. But don't let anyone stop you from getting to the Lord. The Lord is here. He's passing by. He's given you an opportunity. He wants to save you. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. He rose again for you. It could be your last opportunity. Of that there is no doubt. You've got to seize it. You've got to seize it. You've got to come tonight. And you'll notice that he grasped the opportunity and was not disappointed. Look at verse 40. I love verse 40. It says, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. You'll notice here that Jesus stopped. And you'll notice here that the Lord Jesus healed him. And you'll notice here that the Lord Jesus saved him. The Lord showed mercy to him. My friend, that's wonderful. That the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the second person in the Holy Trinity, the Lord of glory, would stop and heal and save an old beggar. You know, friend, all we are tonight, we're old sinful beggars. That's all we are. But the Lord Jesus loves us. That's a mystery. But that's the gospel truth.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lit his crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. Oh, turn while the Savior in mercy is waiting, and steer for the harbour light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight? Your last opportunity. Your last time in a gospel meeting. The Lord has brought you here to give you that opportunity. The Lord is speaking to you and he's striving with you. What if he was to strive nevermore? Many years ago, D.L. Moody told the story of a young man leaving home. As he was leaving home, his mother gave him a Bible and wrote in the Bible, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The young man had no thought of God and no desire for the things of God. He wanted to get out in the world and enjoy himself, and he left home with that intention. But many years passed, and one day he was reading the Bible that his mother gave him, and he noticed the verse, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And he decided that he would go to church. The Lord spoke to him. He didn't know which church to go to. He hadn't been in church for many years. So he went into the first church he saw. And as he sat, the preacher got up to preach. They had no minister in the church. There was just visiting preachers coming along, and the visiting preacher opened the text, opened the Bible and read that text, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," Matthew 6 verse 33, "and all these things shall be added unto you." And just as the preacher read the text, the Lord spoke to the young man. He says, "That's a coincidence. That's the same text that my mother wrote in my Bible. I need to get saved. I need to prepare to meet God." But he left it that Sunday, and he went out, and a few weeks passed, and he decided that he would go back to the same church again, and that's what he did. But it was a different preacher this time, because they had no minister in this church. And the preacher, when he opened the Bible, he preached in the same text again, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And the young man started to tremble, and he realized that the Lord was dealing with him and giving him an opportunity to be saved. And he was just about to get up off his seat to go and speak to the minister, and he decided, "No, I'll not get saved today. I'll come back next week." He didn't come back the next week. In fact, a few months passed. And then he eventually went back to the same church. Different preacher. Same text. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The young man couldn't believe it. Three times in the same church over a period of months, and different preachers preaching on the same text that his mother had written in his Bible. The young man started to cry. He believed that God was giving him another opportunity. But he didn't get saved. He went out of the meeting. And God was dealing with his heart. Moody goes on to tell the story. How many years passed, and someone asked him to go and visit this person in an asylum. And he went and he visited this man. He was an old man now. It was the young man who had left home and had received all those opportunities to get saved but rejected the Lord. And Moody sat him down and tried to reason with him. He was in a padded cell. Tried to explain to him the gospel, but he couldn't understand. His mind had left him. But all he could do was crouch in the corner and repeat, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you."
he had missed his opportunity. My friend, don't miss your opportunity that God, in his mercy and in his grace, is given to you at this time in Lisburn.